The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
It's another edition of Bears All Access, our final one from Bourbonnais this year as the Bears wrap up the Bourbonnais portion of training camp. Hi, everyone. Zach Zabeman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, former right guard of the team, and the current right guard of the team, Kyle Long. And Kyle, would you believe it's Tom's birthday today?
You got anything big planned?
8-16-61. Oh, I'm breaking camp. I'm just excited.
That's a great day.
You know, you break camp healthy. I think that when you start camp, you want to be able to look in the rearview mirror and be healthy at the end, and you are, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, the big thing coming in is shaking off the rust, obviously getting in your playbook and immersing yourself in the new offense, being able to speak that language. But getting out of camp healthy is a very undervalued thing. A lot of guys come in and they talk about being physical. You want to be physical through camp and establish what you want to do as a player, but at the same time, you want to protect each other and you want to get out of there with a full team.
Right. Especially, you know, too, as you have that little pocket that you're working with the offensive line, because your job is no good if the other four are doing their job the way that they're supposed to do it. The unique thing about being an offensive lineman, as much as it is a team, you're, you know, kind of that team within a team.
Yeah, you need to see things through one set of eyes as an offensive lineman.
Right.
I mean, there's five sets of eyes, sometimes seven with a running back and a tight end in protection. You need to be able to be on the same page, and you need to have that understanding.
How'd you feel after that first preseason game, everyone kind of working together in a new offense against a different team?
You know, obviously, preseason week one, there's got to be some ugly stuff. There was also some good-looking stuff on tape. But that's, you know, there's positives and there's minuses, and that's the beauty of football. You live to play another day.
The reason I bring it up is I know you're a thinker. So as you were walking in here and you knew that Tom probably had a list of questions for you, and I know that Tom reviews everything that you do every single week, I want to cut the middleman here.
As he's pulling out his spiral.
Right? He's got the big notebook with all the different notes. Yeah, he doesn't use the iPad to take notes. He uses an old pen and a pad to write down stuff. So as you were walking in here and you're thinking about what Tom's going to ask you, let's cut Tom out of it. What do you think, in what order do you think he's going to ask you certain questions? Do you kind of know what you're prepared for here?
Well, I'm not talking about questions in terms of philosophy or the way I think about things. I know that Tom, there are a few plays that Tom wants to ask me about, you know, and I definitely know which ones he's talking about, and they were covered today. But there's also probably some positives that he wants to draw from and push us and continue to push us in that direction. And, you know, as much as he can be involved without stepping on anybody's toes, he wants to be able to help us out because he's been there and he's done that at a very high level.
What's the first play do you think that is on his mind?
I had a double team on Sue to Sue to the inside backer, and I was more caring about moving number 93, and I didn't even touch the linebacker, and he made a tackle for a loss.
You know, the weird thing about that play is when off or running backs understand you got to get the defensive lineman move first and then it go to that second level. If you get a running back that jumps to the outside, then, you know, it can work itself out to be a good block. But it's weird because offensive linemen will never play a perfect game. You know, you can make every block and along the way somewhere. And when you're as an offensive lineman by trade, that's the way you watch it. I'm not only watching Kyle. I'm watching Jordan, German. I'm watching Vlad Dukas. Every one of these guys, you watch them and you evaluate them.
I think what I find interesting, though, is that you played the exact same position. So you're watching him in a very different fashion than you do the other linemen, right?
Well, it's like my offensive line coach was Dick Stanfeld, who was an offensive guard in the NFL. And he used to say, look, you guys can bullcrap me about the other things. Offensive guard, you're not going to fool me. And that's the way he talked. And it is. I mean, he's been in my stance 100,000 times. Everything that's going to happen to me throughout my career, it's already happened. You know, the blocker, the way you fall into things, and I think I can see things a lot like Kyle.
Yeah, I'm really lucky to have Tom here, and you know, coming in. This is a guy who played how many games did you play in your season prior to showing up for the Super Bowl?
That's I played in the USFL and the NFL.
Okay, this is a guy who played about 100 games in 1 year or whatever the astronomical number was, and he showed up every day, did his job the right way, and he has a tremendous amount of respect. People have a tremendous amount of respect for the way he did it. If I can do one thing, it's to latch onto what he says and try to put it into my game.
It's true, but what's crazy is that you started your NFL career after five major college games. Five. And then all of a sudden, bam, you're out there and you end up in the Pro Bowl. That's remarkable.
Right. I mean, does that surprise you?
Yes and no. I mean, I had no clue that I'd even be able to play college football. I had no clue that one day I'd eventually be a starter in college football. So then it was a series of those to get to where I am now, like being surprised about things. But now it's you do things and you got to have faith in yourself. You have to have confidence.
All right, how about this? Do you ever look at a Major League Baseball left-handed pitcher and say, I think that guy could transcend his career to be an offensive guard?
No.
Because, I mean, that's where you came from. I mean, you were a baseball player at one point, correct?
Yes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know, you're beating the odds. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You're winning. You're winning.
Just trying to do my job, as Magazine would say. Do your job.
I love this. Who's got the best Foxy imitation on the team?
Well. You don't want to get, you know, too carried away with the Foxy imitation. He's the head coach now, so I hope he's not listening.
He seems like the kind of guy, I think the media has a completely different perspective of John Fox, and that's done on purpose by John Fox, but he's big on making sure that everyone within the football club understands how important it is to be really a team, which is something you guys were not a year ago.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's been evident since day one that, you know, we are, you know, as a team, we're nameless, we're faceless, we are a team, we are the Chicago Bears, and this is what we stand for, this is the way we're going to do things, and it's been a really easy environment to come to work every day, and I don't even look at it as work. You know, I in the last 2 years, I'd refer to going to Hallis Hall as, you know, I got to go to work today. No, I have football today. We get to go play football with our buddies and get better as a team.
You know, when you think of, you know, Slauson and Bushrod, you mean you got and Will Montgomery, you got some real elder statesmen on this team, guys that really have a lot invested in the NFL. And, you know, you're still a young guy. You still got to love going to work with that group of guys and that commitment of what an offensive line should turn out to end up being.
Yeah, it almost feels like I'm the eighth grader that's playing up with the varsity team, and
right.
These guys have been, you know, their Letterman's jacket has all kinds of stuff on it, and I'm sitting there with the blank Letterman's jacket. You come in, you hear things that you've never heard before. You learn things you'd never even dream about learning about the game. And also off the field, they help you out so much with anything, your day-to-day life. But it's just great to have those older guys in there to help us out.
Got a funny story about Kyle Long and how he got to Soldier Field the other day. We'll share that next. There's so many questions for you because we got a full hour here on Bears All Access with the Bears Pro Bowl right guard Kyle Long and the 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabeman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. 85 Bear, Tom Thayer is here. Bears Pro Bowl right guard Kyle Long is here. I'm Zach Zabeman. Final day for the Bears here in Bourbonnais. And there's been a lot of different adjustments that need to take place anytime you have a new staff that's hired. So the Bears stay in this new team hotel now before home games. So Kyle Long goes with his human GPS, Matt Forte. He's on his way to the game the other night against the Dolphins. Makes a wrong turn. Doesn't listen to Forte. Ends up in Chinatown.
He said, we're pulling out of the hotel. And I know where I'm going. You know, I'm a regular, you know, Lewis and Clark, you know.
Right.
Me and Matt Forte just making our way to the stadium. I turn and Matt's like, you made the wrong turn. I said, oh, we'll be okay. It wraps around here. You know, and all of a sudden, I can smell noodles and I can, you know, chicken and everything. It smells like great food. And I'm
right.
Like, Matt's like, dude, we are so out of like wrong place right now. But we left with more than enough time to get back to Soldier. I went a little bit south. I was supposed to go up and then towards the lake.
I would get in a full panic because I know what gridlock can happen around the stadium, both with construction that time of day. You get in the wrong lane, the wrong point, and You know, you might be jogging to the stadium with the gear in your hand.
Yeah, I remember my dad was telling me a story. Lyle Alzado and him were on the way to the stadium. This is in L.A. And they were taking a cab to the stadium, and they were in gridlock traffic, and they paid the guy, and they got out on, you know, whatever it was, the 405. And they walked off the exit and got to where they were
That's
going.
That's the way. I never took a bus to a game. Yeah. As an active player, I took a cab to the game every single, including the Super Bowl. I took a cab by myself and got into the back door of the stadium.
There's a former pitcher for the Atlanta Braves by the name of Pascual Perez. He missed a start because he couldn't find the stadium in Atlanta. His home stadium, he couldn't find it. He was driving around, got wrong directions, and could not find the exit ramp off the highway.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do without Google Maps. I really don't.
I played against Lyle Alzado, and his last game was a preseason game. He was trying out for the Raiders. He ended up getting an interception against us.
Oh, wow.
As a defensive lineman.
I bet he was fired up.
Man, I love that guy. You know, going when you bring up those old teams, we could sit here and do an old show about the types of guys that I looked at on those types of teams. And as a young guy, really worshipped, you know, the football that they were playing.
Those Raiders were intimidating, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. I was a big Jim Plunkett fan, and I just like what that team stood for, what Al Davis used to bring up to them.
So they have that new movie now about the rap group NWA, Straight Outta Compton, and they're wearing the Raider jerseys. They used to back in the day in the late 80s, early 90s, and that's when your dad played for the Raiders, and they're wearing his jersey, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. it's pretty cool to see. I don't know if he understands, but I mean, that's very cool. It's a lot of respect. Obviously, football is such a big part of our culture, and to see people affected by that and be able to have it on a movie preview is pretty awesome.
Well, the music they're playing out of practice today, which is so loud, one of the lines in one of the songs is, "I act like the offensive coordinator." And it was a song totally didn't have anything to do with football, but it was a reference to, you know, what an offensive coordinator does.
You know that Tom's musical story? He got to have dinner once with Frank Sinatra.
Mm.
Yep. Went to watch him at one of his concerts in the Chicago Theater, and then afterwards had a chance to go out to dinner with him.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty amazing. That's a
once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yes,
there.
It was.
He's on a totally different vibe. When you were a kid, because you were into baseball, right?
Yes.
Did you appreciate the opportunity that you had when you hung around your dad's friends and they talked football?
You know, until I got to rookie minicamp here, I really had no appreciation for the game, the history, those that came before me. And, you know, when you're at Hallis and you see those guys on the wall and you look at those pictures, you're looking in the eyes of some of the greats every day. It really gives you that, you know, this is where I am. This is why it's so important that we appreciate and have that utmost of respect for the guys who have come before us and have laid the foundation for what we're able to do.
You know, us old guys look at the young guys as softies. You know, they all easier training camp, blah, blah, blah. Does your dad give you the same hard time?
No doubt. When
you and your brother are going to camp, going, oh, if I could have done this, I'd still be playing. And
no
all that.
Doubt about it. Yeah, I bet you guys would still be playing.
Right, right. We couldn't get out of our stance, but yeah. We'd, you know.
So there's a new rule this year, and I'm sure when Ed Hockley and his crew came down here and was talking to you guys about all the new rules and points of emphasis this season, one of them is, remember that first time you played your brother in the National Football League?
Yes, I do.
Right? Now, the reason I bring it up, and you know why I'm bringing it up, because the next time it's happening this year, right?
You can't come and break up. You can't come and help somebody out of a fight.
Right. If you start a fight, those two guys, they go at it. You better, even if you want to be a peacekeeper.
Don't,
right?
Don't pull.
Can't
yeah, peacekeeper,
leave the bench.
That's the word that he used.
Right. You will get fined and get that. You're not allowed to do that. And your brother was a peacekeeper. He pulled you out of there because bad things would happen.
Peace Corps. Chris, yeah. Coming off the sideline.
What happened to you? Did you just snap?
I was pass blocking, a throw was downfield, fumble downfield. I'm running after the ball, and I got blindsided. I'd say it was a cheap shot from William Hayes, who is one of my brother's best friends, and I know William pretty well. And so, you know, I took it as an open invitation to have a little wrestling match.
Feet first.
Well, you take my arms away, that's all I got left. Right. I only have, you know, so many appendages.
You're an MMA fighter.
I don't know about that. Those guys are different.
But you do train like them.
I've trained in wrestling. I would say don't punch me in the face, but let's wrestle.
Well, you're one of Jay Glazer's guys, right? And you go out to that gym out in California. What's the biggest thing that he's helped you work on that you can take from MMA fighters and use in the National Football League?
Well, the main thing, if you're talking about applicable, you know, functionality, the hip explosion is probably the main thing, hip flexibility and hip explosion. But for me, it was finding that ceiling, that breaking point, that mental spot that you get to in your body's all the bells and whistles are going off to say, hey, you should probably stop now. You can push that even further. You see it with guys who, you know, these guys who go without a snorkel and right. They dive down 200 feet. All their alarms are going off in their head. You need air, but you can find that extra whatever it is deep down inside if you just continue to chip away at it.
Right, and you know, there's times when it's going to happen when you play the opening week of the season. You guys have been practicing some pretty hot temperatures up here, but if you have that first day of the season where it's 102 degrees, you got to be able to still have those consecutive 10 play drives and mentally get through them.
Yeah, from what I understand, Glaze shows you guys videos of it's basically convincing yourself mentally that physically, no matter how tired you are or your body's ready to give up, that somewhere within you there's that extra edge that you can use.
I mean, literally at the end of our workout, there's no breaks in that workout. I throw up almost every time. At the end of the workout, we go over to a concrete wall and we just push on it for, you know, 5 minutes. 100%, 75%, 50%, back to 100. And he says, you know, if you can push this wall, you can push anybody. So
that's true.
I'm like, hey, that kind of makes sense.
You get that thing moved, anybody yeah. else is going to be easy.
Did you have someone like that influenced you?
Clyde Emmerich, the legend. You know, that was our weight mentor. That was the guy that conditioned us in the off season. But again, our off season was different than these guys. The collective bargaining agreement was different. So we would spend the entire off season with Clyde up until 1 week before training camp started. And then we'd usually have 5 or 6 days to relax before you got into it.
So I read this article on FoxSports.com, and there was a quote attributed to Kyle Long. And when we come back, I want him to explain this. Quote, I think Goose really calls him out on his crap, and it's reciprocated. We'll find out what he means next. Kyle Long is our guest. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a big TV show brought to you by Jimmy Johns and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/InsideTheBears. 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. We're joined by Bears outside linebacker Jared Allen here in our fancy new RV here provided by Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score here for Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. This is familiar to you, an RV. You are actually staying in the dorms here on the campus of Olivet Nazarene University. But, you know, in your time with the Vikings, you actually stayed in an RV at training camp?
Yeah, I brought my RV to training camp 1 year. And Brad wouldn't let me just stay in it. I had to stay in the dorms. But I spent all my downtime in my RV. I had my Nintendo set up. I had a big four-slide Winnebago tour, like 40-footer. And had the TV outside with the lawn chair set up. You know, fridge was fully stocked with whatever the heck was in it. And half the time I'd come in for practice and the coaches would already be over there. We'd come back from meetings or something like that, and everybody was in my RV besides me playing video games.
Ready, set, shuffle. Registration now open for the Super Bear Shuffle 5K powered by PowerPlate on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Earn more at www.chicagobears.com/5K. Kyle Long is our guest. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. So Mike Garofalo, the Fox Sports NFL analyst, was here last week, I think, watching the Bears here at training camp and had an opportunity to talk to you, Kyle. And he was talking about, with you, about the relationship that Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator, has with Jay Cutler. And Jay talked about that with us during his appearance here on Bears All Access, and the fact that he's younger than most of the other offensive coordinators that he's had, kind of get along probably a little bit better. And you said, quote, they're pretty tight. They just vibe. I think Goose, and that's what Gase's nickname is, I think Goose really calls him out on his crap, and it's reciprocated.
Yeah, I mean, we all keep each other honest. There's checks and balances here. I guess the buzzword over the last week has been accountability, and I'd say there's a lot of that here, without a doubt. Nothing goes unnoticed, no stone goes unturned, and no opinion, whether constructive or whatever it may be, goes unsaid. that's a great thing when you're on a team. You need to be able to communicate.
Right. And Adam can only judge Jay from the point that he's been working with him. Anything before really doesn't matter. And I think you have to have an open verbal relationship to make sure that you can get every point across, because Jay is actively involving 10 other guys. If there's not somebody that's living up to their end of the bargain, he has to bring that up. And sometimes it's not popular because it weighs heavy on these guys when you're fighting for playing time. But, you know, Jay has got to be the leader of this offense and work with Adam Gase.
It's interesting because so much gets reported in regards to people's opinions of Jay Cutler, but they don't really know him. I have an opportunity. I have a unique vantage point, you know, being on the sidelines during game day. For example, this last game that the Bears played, the preseason opener against Miami, you know, he goes, if there's a miscommunication with a receiver, he'll pull the receiver aside. He'll have a heart-to-heart conversation about, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what I'm thinking. Let's fix this right now. And people say that, you know, he reams out the offensive lineman. I saw him with you guys. He wasn't reaming you guys out.
No, he's definitely our biggest supporters, our biggest supporter out there. And you know what? He should be, because we are his livelihood.
That's why you and Slauson are very tight with him.
Yeah, we keep his hair looking good. We try to, at least. You know, he got hit the other day, and he hadn't been hit in a while. We were giving him crap about it. And, you know, he's a tough guy. He's gonna call you on what you need to be called on, no doubt about it, as any quarterback would, and I'm sure you can you can vouch for that. You've had quarterbacks that have
I've had quarterbacks walk back to the sideline with me yelling at me whole time for giving up a sack on a 3-step drop, and I didn't want to.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing, but they're still going to let you know it.
Yeah, no doubt. It's the ones that don't say anything are the ones that you got to worry about.
Hey, if you had Cuddy's hair, how would you have it styled?
Oh, man. I think he lets it go a little bit too much, probably. I'd be a little bit tighter cropped with it. You know, I always had
product,
a buzz cut.
No product.
Just kind of go. Yeah, I just kind of go. The natural look.
Right.
He does have the best helmet hair of any quarterback in the National Football League. I don't know how he does it. It's amazing. He'll take the helmet off, and it doesn't matter if he gets drilled by, you know, Cameron Wake the other day or whatever. He'll get back up, always tough, comes back to the bench, puts the helmet down. One wrist flick, the hair is perfect.
Mm.
I don't know how he does it.
Right. It's
majestic, really.
So Tom took a Soldier Field selfie the other day.
My first and only.
I know that guy.
Yeah, Dan Marino. I'm showing it to Kyle. Dan Marino and Tom took a selfie together. You played with him your final year in the National Football League.
Yeah, and I played an all-star game with him at the end of our college career. We went out to the Hula Bowl in Hawaii, and I went there as an offensive guard, and I ended up playing center. And so I said, if I play center, I want all your equipment after the game. I want your shoes and everything. So I have a lot of stuff from Dan, both with the Miami Dolphin days and when he was his senior year at Pitt.
Who was the toughest quarterback on you in regards to not doing your job correctly?
My first quarterback I played with in the USFL was Greg Landry. And he was 40 years old and I was 20 years old. And I came out to practice the first day, and I thought you had to be a pro player. I didn't have pads in my pants and all that stuff. And he goes, go in the locker room, put your pads in your pants. Put your knee pads in, your thigh pads in. You're going to be a professional. And you're not going to come out here like a guy that's been around for a long time. Come out here every day and practice like a pro. I was like, yes, Mr. Landry. And it really stuck with me. But, you know, then you have a guy that's an entirely different personality like McMahon, where he has fun with the game, but he's super serious when you're playing the game. And, you know, so there's a big difference between the two of them.
And when we had Jay on a couple weeks ago, Kyle, he talked about the young players, and maybe you're one of them, because you look a lot older than you are, but you're still a young guy. And Jay talks about the young players as though he's 45 years old and the youngsters are 15. Does he treat you guys that way?
Well, the thing about Jay is he's been in our shoes before. He's been the young guy. He's burned the candle at both ends as a pro. But he's been playing long enough now to where he's transitioned into that phase of, you know, he's a father, he's a husband, and he's the quarterback. He's the franchise quarterback of a huge market team and a team that needs to be on the upswing. And I think he's done a great job transitioning into that. I've only seen him with one hat on, and that's the one that he wears now. So I love the way that he approaches it. I'll always be supportive of him because of the way that he's treated me and the importance of, like you said, you have to show up every day. Eyes are going to be on you. Right away, I was a first-round pick, and whether I liked it or not, there was going to be a dozen more sets of eyeballs on me than, you know, the guy next to me probably. And I, because what I do reflects on the guy next to me. What I do, everything that you do is watched and analyzed.
Then help me understand how the two of you, both you and Jay, end up going to a store to find two big wheels.
We were going through our checklist for camp, and we were getting I forget where we were at his house or my house, I don't know. And we went online, and I was like, you know, how are we going to get around camp? Are we going to get bikes? He's like, you know, bikes are kind of played out. Everybody's got bikes. So I said, I got it, big wheels. So we went on Amazon and found us a big wheel, a set of big wheels.
I tell you, I sat in that the other day while you were out in the practice field. It was underneath the tent. I wanted to feel it out. I'm old enough where they didn't have big wheels for my generation or rolling around the driveway. And you used to see that power brake where the kid mm-hmm. would come sliding into the driveway. Man, that's all I wanted to do my whole life.
There's still time.
Right.
Does Jay ride around the big wheel?
Oh, he's ridden it a few times, yeah.
He's smart. See, he won't do it during media availability.
He's like Bruce Wayne. He only takes his sweet toys out when nobody's watching.
I see these two like The Shining, riding around the hallways in the, you know, with their big wheels together.
It's like Ponch and John.
Our matching outfits.
Going to take another timeout when we come back. More with the two-time Bears Pro Bowl guard, Kyle Long, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on here from Bourbon A on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Kyle Long is our guest. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Time to decide on the Player of the Week, brought to you by Sports Authority. And we'll go from the preseason opener that the Bears just played against the Miami Dolphins. And I'm going to need your help to decide. Tom, there are a lot of candidates. I mean, you could start with Kyle Long, who had a very good game with the first team, or we can start going to units 2 and 3, where guys like Sam Acho went out there, had a sack, had an interception on the defensive side of things. Both running backs, Kadeem Carey and Sonoris Perry, both look good carrying the ball. Who stood out to you?
Oh, Sherrick was good.
Sherrick McManus, who's always spotlighted as a special teams guy, but I think he's really excelled in his role at cornerback. And he's another guy, his attitude, his demeanor, the way he carries himself. But also you mentioned Sam Acho. I could not stand Sam Acho for the first 2 weeks that I knew him because he goes so hard every day, and he's got that big smile on his face. He loves the game.
He does.
And now I just respect the hell out of him, and he just goes hard.
But I like how he will walk back and tell you that you have to practice harder because he's trying to get you ready for the betterment of the football
team.
Yeah,
and I'm such a meathead. I don't even see that at first. And then, you know, we got to figure it out on our own terms. But I love the guy. Also, you mentioned Sonoris Perry, Kadeem Carey, all these guys.
Our guy 5'7", John Timu. He comes down, makes a tackle on kickoff coverage, and then gets an interception.
And he wears 57. You got to love that.
That's what I said, 5'7".
Mm. Yeah. Anytime someone wears that number, that's what Tom used to wear back in the day. Olin Kreutz wore it. It's a popular number here with the Chicago Bears. Let's give it to Sam Acho, though, because I like what you said, not just what he was able to do during the game, but the fact that on the practice field.
He's the guy that on film, if you're playing if you're a 4-eye and he's at defensive end or stand up outside linebacker, if you're not going a million miles an hour, you're going to look like you're loafing because he's going 2 million miles an hour.
61, the tackle that he went against to get the sack in the Dolphins game. I saw the tackle set, and I knew he had too much space on each side. I said, this is not going to end well. And next thing you know, he's looking at the back number and getting chasing the quarterback.
So congratulations to Sam Acho, the Bears linebacker, is the Sports Authority Player of the Week. The kind of recognition that you get on this show, that's what he wins. And by the way, did you notice that when I interviewed him on the field right after the game, the first thing he said is, you know, one of the coaches asked me, do you regret coming to the Chicago Bears? Because let's face it, you know, he's coming from Arizona where the Cardinals were highly successful last season and the Bears are trying to build their way back up. And he said, no, I love it here. And you're right. He's got that enthusiasm that's infectious.
He passed out before Fan Fest. Everybody, me and him had gotten like two scuffles the week prior. And we're good now. We're buddies. But he's sitting in my locker when I walk in the locker room is a wristband with his logo on it. And it says, let's freaking go. And I thought it was a joke. So the whole time, and I'm like, guys, did you get a Sam Acho bracelet? Turns out everybody had gotten a Sam Acho bracelet, And that's just how he is. He wants to elevate everybody around
right.
him. And he's got that gravitational pull where everybody's looking at him because he goes so hard every day.
He goes so hard. He's so mature, and he's so smart. Guys like that generally are quarterbacks.
They intimidate me, those guys.
Well, I think Purnell, Sam Acho, and Jarrett have all gone pretty hard on the outside. They're making the tight end position better because of the way they're going. And I know those bracelets don't fit over your paws anyways.
No.
And so you just got to tape it to your arm hair.
Yeah.
Man, I'm looking at both of you, and again, same position back in the day. Tom won a championship playing the position that you play with maybe the greatest team that we've ever seen for a single season in the Super Bowl, and his hands are small compared to yours, and Tom's got big hands.
Quit looking at my hands, you weirdo.
Yeah, you're scaring us, dude.
We're talking about him not wearing a bracelet.
But because there was a point earlier where you were talking about training with Glazer, and you stuck your hand out, and I backed away. I was scared.
Oh. Man.
Well, that's what I remember the first time meeting Kyle, and when he walked up after they had drafted him here, and after he had a spork on, you know, you just look at his hands and his forearms, and it looks like something you'd see out of Bonanza, you know, some guy that's been picking up horses for a generation. No, that's mainly as a compliment.
Yeah, no, I'm just laughing because it's true. They have this thing. What's that machine that you guys use to test the hand strength?
I'm not sure the name of it, but you got the gist of it.
Right.
Those carnival toys.
Yeah.
But you can crush it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, those things are fun. I think it's at the Chicago Sports Museum now.
There you go.
Well, you know, one of the ways that benefits Kyle is he did have a play the other day where he's pulling against the linebacker number 52 on the other side, and he didn't hit him with perfect form, but he recovered, got a hold of the guy, and jammed him to the ground. Those are one of the things that you got to be able to use it. You know, you just can't have it. You got to be able to use it.
Has anyone ever been able to intimidate you on a football field?
You know, I'd say my first game against Ndamukong Suh, I don't know if the word would be intimidated, but there was, you know, I was going through my pre-flight checklist. I was like, where's the closest exit? Where's, you know, but it's football. You know, after you hit the first time, it's, you know, this guy bleeds like I do. He pees in the morning, and we're both human beings.
Man, that first play the other night, because I was waiting, you and Jordan were going to come off the ball, and Jordan just jumped just that
Jordan!
I was just, you know, it's just, you want to get to him.
Everybody
before.
In the stadium knew it was coming.
Right, right.
Former teammate. Can you tell just by looking at a guy's eyes if they're intimidated because of your physical stature?
I try not to look at guys in the eyes. I look right where his C is, right there on the chest, right at the midline, especially in the stance, because you can tell, you know, weight of the hands, shoulder lean, feet. You look at their feet. But, yeah, if I'm going to size a guy up, I'm looking down. I'm not going to look
right.
at your face.
It's like the same
thing. I'm not fighting your face. I'm fighting your hands.
Right. I mean, that's what it is. When you're in your stance, you're really looking at a stationary target because you know the snap count and you're trying to get there before they can get off the
ground. So it's like in basketball.
What did Mel Gibson say? Aim small, miss small. So you got to look. You got to see it. You got to see your target.
Right.
And you
got
to hit it.
Everything is small in regards to me. I'm not a big guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way I operate. When we come back, what I want to find out is, you know, we talked earlier about the locker room and how it's changed. As a man now entering his third year in the NFL, and now that you've built a little bit of equity, do you have a greater voice now inside that room? We'll discuss with Kyle Long next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears take on the Colts this Saturday, August 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Tune in to the Chicago Bears Network broadcast on Fox 32 in Chicago and stations throughout the Midwest. Chicago Bears preseason football is brought to you by North Shore University Health System. And that's where you guys are headed next after wrapping up the Bourbonnais portion of camp. This is the first time in your career that you had an opportunity to scrimmage, having two joint practices against the Colts before a preseason game. Is that cool? Are you looking forward to that?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be just such a blast. you know, lining up against somebody you don't know, and but it's not a game, but it's not a scrimmage. You know, there's going to be a few plays where you're going to say, you know, you're going to feel out the tempo. Fortunately, I usually only know one tempo if I don't know the other guy. But it's going to take a little bit for guys to get used to how that goes. We obviously haven't practiced against another team. Luckily, it's not back-to-back-to-back-to-back practices. Right. Luckily, it's two practices, I believe.
Correct.
So hopefully things don't get crazy. I mean, as you can see, sometimes when these teams get together, things can get a little chippy. Tempers run high.
It happened to him once.
Yeah, we did the same thing, but we went to practice against New Orleans, and they practiced at a lesser tempo than we did. So we went out there to 9-7. We're coming around the corner cutting. We're going live. We're double-teaming. And they just blew up. They did not know how to handle it. And then every period just turned into a fight. And then finally, I think at the end of the second day, they just had to split us up, and we had to ship back home because
you to that corner, you to right. that corner.
And, but that's the tempo that Coach Ditka had us used to. So yeah. We didn't know how to go in there and slow it down. And so I'm really excited to see how it all goes down. Does it blow up in fights and one-on-ones? Does it happen in 9-on-7?
You know what? Hopefully we just use this as a great opportunity to line up against an Okie front that we're not used to lining up against. And yeah. We can say, here's different pass rush moves. Jordan can work on a certain pass set. I can work on a certain, run blocking skill set. There's stuff that you want to work on. You're not just going down there to just beat the crap out of each other. You're going down there with a purpose.
Even though watching tape, you watch tape of Jeremiah Ratliff, Eddie Goldman, you know what you're practicing against. Here you're going to go in and practice the first day without watching any tape of them, and they play Sunday night. So
yeah, so I've already extended an invitation to one of the D linemen from the Colts. I said, hey, you want to go grab a bite to eat? guy I've played against before. So, hopefully it's civil down there, and, we can use it the way that it's intended to, and we can benefit from that, both sides.
Has it been beneficial to essentially practice the entire time here at training camp against the 3-4 defense? Because that's something that you haven't had the opportunity to do since you joined the Bears.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, the flexibility they have to be able to line up different personnel and different alignments, that odd front, can cause a lot of headaches for teams. And in the past, we line up against a 4-3 every week, and on Sunday we'd line up against a 3-4, and I'd say, I don't know where the heck to go. So the 4-3, I'd say, is more peeling bananas in terms of the mental preparation, because as a guard, I got a guy on top of me. This is my guy. I got dibs on him. When I'm in the 3-4, there's a 4-yard bubble over top of me, and I'm asking Monty and Jordan, who wants help?
Even the Bears, when they were ending the game, they had two guys in stances, and they had four guys standing up, and people don't realize that depending upon where they stand, the distance from the line, they could be responsibility offensive line or not.
So how crucial has Will Montgomery, the new center who comes over from Denver, understands what needs?
Monty has been so, so good for this group. He's a player coach. He's really – By definition, a player coach. I mean, the guy is aces in our meeting from a mental standpoint. And obviously, he's a physical guy who's got some pelts on the wall, and he's played on some great teams before. So we're very, very lucky to have him.
Hey, you talked about messaging someone from Indianapolis. Has anybody in the social media ever contacted you before or after a game? Like through, just the way you youngsters do it nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, there's not a lot of conversation. Like, I'll run into guys at the Pro Bowl that I've played against, and we'll talk about it. But it's one of those things where, the film speaks for itself. And usually after the game you talk, you can dap a guy up and good game, stay healthy.
Right. But in our generation, you leave the game, you're done.
Yes.
There's no chance of any way of communicating with that person. You're not going to call him up in the locker room or call his home phone. You guys, now you have a lot of different ways of going about just conversation.
Yeah, I'd say there's a lot of avenues to be able to communicate, and the NFL fraternity has gotten smaller thanks to technology. So I can most of the time it's guys who play my position on other teams.
All right.
I can talk to TJ Lang about things he sees with a certain guy, and I can talk to Evan Mathis. I can talk to any number of guys because of social media. In a private setting, and we can kind of pick each other's brains, or it's just nice. As an offensive guard, even though they're on another team,
right,
we're all kind of a part of that offensive line unit,
right?
And you can kind of draw information from them as well.
Like, I can't see your dad saying, "Hey, John Hanna,
no,
how you doing this week?"
No, that's not really how it goes, but You can help each other out.
Yeah, but it's different. I think also you have free agency now, where mm-hmm. back in your day, for most of your career, that was not a possibility. So you knew the guys that you were with, those are the guys you're with, and they're probably not going to go to another team.
But what Kyle said, I would have liked in my generation to be able to, you know, maybe ask John Hanna a question or ask another great offensive or, you know, just one of the great guards from around the league, you know, just different questions like Kyle could ask him.
And speaking of conversing with other people, are you louder now in the Bears locker room based on what you saw over your first two seasons, being more mature now, having built a little bit of equity and understanding what it takes to win? Maybe that wasn't there in the past.
I'd say I probably talked too much in my first 2 years, and I've found that your play on the field speaks volumes more than what is said. You know, you got a lot of guys with opinions and a lot of guys who have accumulated a lot of respect around the league. So let these guys who are vested talk, and, you know, you just tell me who to block. I'll go get them.
See, that works. I wish more people had that attitude.
Yeah, well.
it's the National Football League. Kyle Long is here. They're always sticking together. They're about 1,200 pounds of man, usually, that you come in on the medical golf cart. That usually Will Montgomery or Matt Slauson are driving.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys haven't highlighted Matt Slauson's commandeering of numerous vehicles around the campus.
I tell you, that guy loses more water through his beard than I've seen some people swim in.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man, I like the whole idea of growing a beard after first frost, but, you know, I don't even know. Does his chin strap hit his chin ever?
I don't even know. I didn't even realize he wore a chin strap. To be honest.
Right. Yeah, just tied his helmet to the beard.
Somewhere in there. It's like a canopy within the forest that's on his jawline.
All right, coming up next, we'll play Fact or Fiction with all the stuff that gets reported about Jay Cutler. You know him better than most. What's fact? What's fiction? Plus, take us inside the offensive line room, because you guys are not about tooting your own horn. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of let the fans in on the trenches, because that's a big part of football. Kyle Long is here. So's Tom Thayer. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and Bears right guard Kyle Long, I'm Zach Zaidman. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. During the break, Tom asked about Walter, your world-famous pup, who the last time we saw Walter on social media, you were packing for Bourbon A, and he was in an interesting position.
Yeah, Walt seems to find those nooks and crannies within the house, and he's tough to get out of those little spots sometimes. you got to scratch him out of there. He's an awesome dog. I got him right after I got drafted, and you know, I picked the name Walter. It's obviously a significant name in the Chicago area. And he's been great for me. He's my little companion, and it's always nice to see a little wagon tail when you get home.
Occasionally, Tom walks around with Ernie Banks. That's
the name of our dog.
Yeah. So he's into it as well, embracing the community. Wanted to ask you about your good friend Jay Cutler, because so much gets written, so much gets said about this guy. You know him. What's fact and what's fiction from what you hear?
Well, it depends. You'd have to throw out an example.
Well, you know what gets reported. You're not blind.
I just think that people have a really skewed viewpoint on my man. Jay, I mean, for so many guys in this locker room, Jay has been a positive influence. You know, he's never – nothing that comes out of his mouth is said just to be said. I mean, there's purpose behind everything that he says. He rides me hard about a lot of things, and although I may not want to hear it at the time, I look back in retrospect and I say, wow, that really, you know, I really benefited from that conversation, or that was definitely something I needed to hear at the time. And that's just the kind of guy he is. He wants to make sure that everybody around him is getting better. You know, you never want to be stagnant.
I think that a lot of leadership qualities are lost in the quarterbacks, because no one gets to see inside the room. When you do close the rooms and it's only you guys getting ready for practice, getting ready for games, there's a lot of meaningful relationships in there. Last year when you were assigned a locker, who did you locker next to? And this year, who are you lockering next to?
I was next to Jordan Mills last year and Roberto Garza. And Jordan Mills and I now have a gap between us, so we have an extra locker.
Right.
So we have some spillover space. And then Will Montgomery's right next to me.
So just good football conversation between you guys all the time. I mean, for the most part.
Most of the conversation with Montgomery is in regards to why my socks are on his side of the locker.
Right.
And he really, really, really has strict zoning rules.
Is his locker, like, impeccable, and then yours is just
Mine's not bad. None of us really have super messy lockers, but I'd say that Jordan is probably a better neighbor than Will Montgomery. I'd put a fence up day one if I lived next to Monty.
Poor centers.
Wow. What about Jermon? Because we haven't talked a lot about Jermon Bushrod. He's, like, just quiet, cool when it comes to that room.
You know, he's, in terms of locker room, he's in the high-rent district over there. That's where the left tackles hang
right.
out. So we're all in a row. Me and Jordan are in the middle of the neighborhood, and it goes down the line. I mean, yeah, Jermon Bushrod is one of the coolest guys I've ever been around. Just, cool. Just really cool.
Right. Man.
He's just cruising all the time. Super athletic, very smart guy, easy to get along with, funny guy. So it's great to have a guy like Jermon in the room.
And then you've got Sloss. I mean, we could do a whole show on Matt Sloss.
Yeah, he really needs a reality show, I think. He's like, remember the Larry the Cable Guy with the cutoff denim shirt? I mean, Slosson is the new one, Larry the Cable.
But, I saw him bust out of meetings today with no shirt on, just shorts, getting in the cart, riding to practice.
Thought it was David Hasselhoff?
I thought it would be one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The Hoff.
All right, your last opportunity to give the fans a message here before the start of the season, what would it be? Because you hear from the fans all the time on social media. What would you like them to know about the 2015 Bears?
Yeah, the one thing is just stay into it. I mean, absolutely, when you're at the games, make as much noise as you possibly can. Third downs, we need you guys. And let the offense work when we're out there. We love having you guys. We love you guys for sticking by us. Be as loud as you can be. I mean, if there's one point I can make, is when we're on defense, we need that house rocking. When we're playing at Soldier Field, we need you guys behind us.
And when you're on the field, very quiet.
So yes.
You can hear the calls. That's Kyle Long for Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. Thanks for listening. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.